In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. So we come to this day is, astronomically, is winter solstice. It's the shortest day of the year, the darkest day of the year, the least amount of daylight. The sun is the lowest it'll ever be in the sky. What we call evening in the summer would be mid-afternoon. What we call morning would be lunchtime. It's a theme of darkness, and the church put the feast of the Nativity of our Lord at this time of year on purpose. We don't really know the actual date of Christ's birth. The church celebrates it at winter solstice precisely because of this darkness. I think it can serve as an icon for us. I feel like a broken record here. 2020 has been a very difficult year. We had a pandemic. Just in this country alone, 300,000 lost lives. Neighbors, family suffering. Neighbors have died, have suffered. We had those fires in California. Took 7% of the land of that state. 7% completely destroyed. You've heard these statistics. You know what's happened. And then, Valerie, 2 weeks ago, you decided to give us a scare. You know, it's not been an easy year, especially a week in ICU. And we're all waiting for this year to finally end. Not so much that the time is bad, but the difficulties would finally end. That we'd finally break out of this shell that feels like it's just been encapsulating us, and we break out of one thing, another thing comes at us. And we feel like it's time for us to break out. And we heard in the gospel this morning, this Sunday before the Nativity, of all these generations waiting for the coming of Christ. From Abraham to David, 14 generations. From David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations. From the deportation to Babylon to the time of the Messiah, to the time of Christ, 14 generations. It's 42 generations. And as we read these names, as we heard those names, we realize our concept of time is so distorted because we're so used to quick fix, quick change. 42 generations waited for the coming of the Messiah. 42 generations lived a winter solstice for their entire lives, never having the light come into the world. And then we get to the Nativity. Then we get to the birth of Jesus Christ. Finally, finally, the light comes into the world. It starts quietly. It starts just with an angel coming to Mary and saying, "You will be the mother of the Messiah." And then she has to tell Joseph, and Joseph is bewildered and is going to divorce her quietly. And then the angel comes to Joseph and says, "Don't do it. Mary has conceived by the Holy Spirit." So now two people know. Two people know. And then soon they go to Bethlehem. She will give birth to this holy child, and angels will appear to a group of shepherds, the lowest of the low in the socioeconomic, about slightly above beggar, I guess, of socioeconomic class. And they will know. And then soon it will spread. It takes a while, but soon it will spread. Pretty soon, astronomers from the east will come. Next thing you know, King Herod knows. Pretty soon, the entire region of Judea knows. The light spreads slowly but surely into this place of the darkness because of the nativity of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Because he has come into the world after all that waiting, after all that darkness. You know, well did the prophet speak when he said, "The people who walked in darkness have seen the great light." No matter how dark it got, in the Nativity of our Lord, the light came. And then part of the gift that Christ gives us coming into the world is this gift of baptism, in which we who are born into this world with the brokenness, with this mortality, with suffering all over it, Christ presents to us this baptismal font as a way of participating in his death and resurrection. You know, as Megan read for us in the epistle, all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus are baptized into his death and raised to the newness of life. And so Vivian, beautiful, beautiful Vivian, born into this broken world, comes on this darkest day of the year to a font in which she first has to go in as an icon of death and say, I'm taking it. That's what Vivian said when she went in. I'm taking it. So that she could be raised with Christ to the newness of life. She had to go in first. You don't get to the newness of life without first going through the font of death. You don't get to light until you first taste darkness. You don't get to life until you first taste death, till you go to its door and you say, here I am. And I know that you just chose her name, you know, in the last whatever months. I don't know when you decided. God knew her name from the beginning of time. God knew what you would choose. And the name Vivian means life. You know, it comes from the Latin vivere, to live. Vivian means life. It means living. It means to give life. And she is not only alive herself, she's not only life herself, but she is life-giving. By going into the font, by standing up to the face of death, by standing to the face of darkness and coming out with light and life, she becomes a light and life giver to us because she has put on Christ, who is our light and life. And things will start to change around her. They always do. It doesn't matter how old they get. I mean, how many kids in this room have been baptized? And they get older, but you start to see that the life that they took, that they got, still is presented to this world. It doesn't end just because their day, you know, it's not just Vivian's day. It's life. It's life coming into the world. It's baptism reaching out and permeating the brokenness of the world without stopping. Slow, absolutely. Sometimes slower than we'd like. But you look back, you realize it's happening. It's a movement that cannot be stopped because it is the movement of life itself. You know, Val, a week in ICU, you're home. You're healing. Slow. I bet you'd wish it was faster. God knows the speed you need. You know, it's light coming into the world. December 18th, 2 days ago, the last fire in California was put out. It took all that time, way slower, but put out. Vaccines are out. It's not going to be instantaneous. We can't let our guard down, but it's starting. It's starting to permeate into the world, this healing, this prevention. And winter solstice is not just the darkest day of the year, it's also the day it starts to get lighter. You know, tonight I think it's at 2 a.m. or something, so they always put it in the middle of the night. You know, you want to see a nice meteor shower, you know, you wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, they always tell you, winter solstice is going to hit tonight at 2 a.m. or something, but that's when it starts to get lighter. It's not just the darkest day of the year, it's the day when it starts to get lighter, which is why the church put the nativity here, is because as dark as it gets, this is the day that it starts to get light. Slowly, a few seconds a day. It's not going to be June, you know, overnight. It's going to be a few seconds. And another day will go by a few more seconds. Another day will go, then a minute, and a few minutes. And all of a sudden you look back and you realize it's a lot lighter now than it was a week ago. It's a lot lighter now than it was a month ago. There is more life in the world than there was when I first thought about it. So we come to this day at the Nativity when Vivian is brought to the font and she becomes an icon of all of this. She becomes an icon of 42 generations waiting and then life showing. She's an icon of the sickness and brokenness of the world finding healing. She's an icon of fires of destruction being put out. And she's most importantly an icon of walking up to the face of death and saying, not on my watch. I put on Christ and I put on life. Amen.